this 17th chapter of John. It deserves to be called the Lord's Prayer. To be sure, it's not the one that we say together every time we worship here, or at many Christian gatherings, people will close with the Lord's Prayer. But we hear Jesus praying all through the Gospels. When there's a big decision to be made, Jesus prays. When the press of the crowds is too much on him, he goes off to a quiet place and he prays. But we are not usually permitted to hear the words that Jesus prays. We just know he went off to pray. So here in John's Gospel, there must be some great significance for us, because we have access to the words in this prayer. He's praying in the upper room with the disciples around him that his glory would be fulfilling God's will and that God's glory would be giving him strength to continue to be obedient throughout his time here on earth, which we will see is very short. Then Jesus prays for his immediate followers, the disciples. He is praying that they and we might all be one. It is the last will and testament of Jesus, and it draws its power from the fact that Jesus is about to die. Even though we went through Easter and Lent and Easter a few weeks ago, we're back in that same place to learn something important. I'm sure when the disciples who were gathered with Jesus in the upper room as his high priestly prayer was being prayed, they were thinking that this was not what they had signed up for. What is he talking about? This is not why I left my nets on the shore. This is not why I left my family. Hearing Jesus' words, accepting that the difficult hour had come, those were not words of comfort. They were words of change, accompanied by fear of the unknown. And I think we would feel the same if we were there. The point of Jesus' prayer was not about his obedience to the past, how great he had been, but in obedience to the future for the disciples and, more importantly, for all of us. It's a prayer for the church that we might utilize the faith Christ has in us, the faith Christ has in our call to be faithful to the church. There are two points that stood out to me in this morning's scriptures, and I include the one from Acts. And the first one comes from verse 14 in Acts, and it describes Jesus' ascension and the lives of the disciples. It reads, "All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer." We pray every week in church, don't we? And maybe each evening before closing our eyes to sleep. However, do we strive to pray throughout our day for guidance from our Heavenly Father? In our busy lives, it's a challenge, but it is the way to be a faith, to live a faith-filled life. It is the way to prevent trivia of this world from blinding us to God's daily graces before our eyes. We live in a very complicated and angry world these days. We can get shell-shocked from the daily disasters in the news. Ask yourselves, how can I keep myself centered as a child of God? Daily, all through the day. Some days I want to say, where are you, God, in all of this? Yeah? If we could only feel so close to God as Jesus did. Because God is here. Luther recommended inner concentrated prayer, and he called this a conversation from heart to heart. That is, from our heart to God's heart. And I can hear people saying, my life is too busy for that, even when we're retired, which I am. Sometimes it seems too busy for that. That's the type of prayer that the monks and nuns do, right? They have the time. It's a type of prayer in which we get out of our ego and our head and listen to God with our heart. Through prayer, we can discern the will of God for our mission in this place, for the use of our material blessings, for every aspect of our lives. Pray through your days, seeking to be of one mind and one heart with our Creator. God is always available, but we are not always listening. The second point that I highlighted was from the 11th verse of John's Gospel. So that they may be one, as we are one. We being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this reading, Jesus' prayer for us, those who come after, who gather in Jesus' name. Jesus is praying that the divisions that often separate us, race and background, education attainment, or business success, social position, financial security, or the lack of these may not separate us. However, they do at times. There is neither Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female, but we are all one in Christ. Now, that unity is not always easy. Most of us have never learned how to disagree in love or how to love those with whom we disagree. We're like the poet who wrote, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be grace and glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. Unity isn't easy. But Jesus not only prayed for it, he modeled it for us. Unfortunately, we all know that not everything that is done in the church or in the name of Christ is always done for the glory of God. We know that at times in history, the church has actually ignored the will of God in order to have its own way. As a consequence, there has been discord and disunity in God's church. And this disunity is apparent in the number of denominations that we have. Even our own ELCA took a group, put them back together, and now they're going, I don't agree, and they're dividing up again. So often disunity is in the church, in the community, the country, or even in the family. Issues that are not dangerous or critical to someone's well-being, we just disagree on them. They are simply different opinions, and some cling to their opinions like they were life and death issues, and they're really trivia. Compromise is an important word whenever there are more than two or three gathered. there will be two or three opinions. Compromise. Imagine the powerful force we could exert as a congregation or as a denomination and as the church in the world if we all pulled together. We have to have common goals and common purposes and let all that trivia drop off. Through prayer in the ways of love, the ways of mutual respect, understanding, and acceptance, we can be one in Christ.